Like every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Dontoni and Mish spill the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Dontoni.
Buenos noches, amigos. Breakfast Soup Raw. I am Dontoni. He is. And I don't hear you.
Anthony Missionary Thomas. Now what's going on, everyone? What's going on?
Now I hear. Wow. You know, pretty entertaining episode of Raw. If you tune into this show, the expected was announced tonight. I'm not saying that it can't progress into something further, but, you know, the major news coming out of Raw tonight, Steve Austin, the challenge has been given. Kevin Owens issues the challenge to Steve Austin to show up at WrestleMania 38, in a one-on-one match, but for the Kevin Owens show. I know we're not the only ones that said that all along. But,
right.
You know, do you want to have Steve Austin's legacy tarnished because he is in the ring? Even if Kevin Owens makes him look like $1 million, you know, he can't. He just Mother Nature kicks in. And, you know, we were talking about it last night with Sting. You know, there used to be Raven's rules in AEW. There's Sting's rules. Sting has a match. Texas Tornado, no DQ, false count anywhere. So he doesn't have to take shots to the spine, which makes sense. You know, son of a bitch dives off of, you know, he's turning into the white New Jack, and I love it.
Right.
But, you know, I think Steve Austin also has a lot of pride. And you and I said from the get-go that do you really want him in a match or do you want him to show up at the Kevin Owens show, little back and forth, and then ultimately Kevin Owens eats a stunner. You could probably even picture it. Steve Austin, you know, cuts a promo, rags on Kevin Owens a little bit, then maybe he issues a little compliment to Kevin Owens. You remind me a little bit of me, son. And then they end up, he throws a couple of beer, has a couple of beers thrown him in the ring. He gives one to Kevin Owens. Maybe Seth Rollins is in there too. A toast. You know, to, you know, drink it for WrestleMania. And then while Kevin Owens is taking the slug, Steve Austin hits him with the stunner. And maybe a little bit more. And who knows, between now and Mania, which is still about 4 weeks away, maybe it progresses into an actual match. But I love the idea of the Kevin Owens show. What's your thoughts on it?
I'm perfectly fine with that. I like the idea that we're going to have an interaction between Owens and Steve Austin. The fact that it's going to happen at Mania isn't a surprise. Like you said, we brought it up before. Many other people have brought it up before as well. And it seems like WWE was absolutely telegraphing their moves with this whole Kevin Owens thing. I mean, even his intro graphic as he came down to the ring was, I think it said, self-admittedly hates Texas. Oh, yeah, admits to hating Texas, right. Thank you for catching that. But, yeah, I kind of laughed at that. I'm like, oh, that's great. Because, I mean, they're telegraphing it because they want people to want to see Owens and Stone Cold have that little face-off moment at Mania. I don't think it's going to be a match. I know people are still under the illusion that, you know, Steve Austin is trying to get ring ready. Man, that's a hard sell for me. I mean, never say never. Isn't that like WWE's whole thing? But certain things we can pretty much say never. But at the same time, you know, coming out there, playing up to the fans, obviously it's going to be a big weekend for Steve Austin because not only is it in Texas, but, you know, his brother in arms for a long time. Undertaker is going to be retiring. You know, he's going to be around to watch that, to be a part of that somehow. It's going to be a big fucking deal. So why not add to the festivities by having Stone Cold lay down a stunner in Texas, you know, during this big weekend of WrestleMania? So, yeah, no. Do I absolutely expect Kevin Owens to get spit on and stunned? Absolutely. Do I think they're going to have a match? I don't know, man.
You know, look, maybe Steve Austin is trying to get the legs back a little bit, and maybe things change in the next couple of weeks. They do have a few weeks still. But I personally think, you know what? Maybe in the record books, it's not a match. But Kevin Owens could stomp a mud hole into Kevin Owens, gives him a stunner, and then with right. Kevin Owens totally knocked out, Steve Austin could just, you know, count 1, 2, 3 himself. And, you know, it's not an official match, but, and who knows? Who knows? Maybe it turns into an impromptu match. Maybe he issues the challenge right then and there. And it's just, get a referee out here, ring the bell, and then maybe it turns into a match. But I love the idea of it being the Kevin Owens show. It's definitely the safer way to go. You know, again, we love nostalgia. And we, especially with video games, you know, the 2K22 game is pretty much coming out. And you use wrestlers from 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, when you see them in the video game, you see them in their prime. You know, or if they're still an active wrestler, you see them as they currently are. But, you know, Steve Austin, 59 years old, just because Sting could do a little bit doesn't mean that every person at 60 could do it. So God bless Steve Austin that he can actually do a little bit. It's going to be fun. You know, Kevin Owens is going to put 200% into this. Let's see what happens with Seth Rollins. You know, if Seth Rollins, and let's make this clear, if Seth Rollins does not have it match, it's not the end of the world, everyone. Seth Rollins is so over with the crowd right now, which I absolutely love for obvious reasons. You know, there's always next year's WrestleMania. It could be the year after that. You know, he will truly main event a WrestleMania. WWE is not going to have Seth Rollins go the rest of his WWE career without main eventing a Mania. So it doesn't happen at this one. Guess what? It might be even better it doesn't happen at this one. Why do you want it to be overshadowed by Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar? Why do you want it overshadowed between AJ Styles and Edge? Why do you want it overshadowed between some of the women's matches? Seth Rollins, you know, what are they going to do? Shit out a main event? Give me an opponent for Seth Rollins. You go down the list, and yes, it is WWE's fault, but when you go down the list, don't give me Cody Rhodes. Don't give me Cody Rhodes. And we're not even going to talk about Cody tonight because you and I have been saying all along that Cody Rhodes is probably better used for the night after WrestleMania, not WrestleMania. And all this clickbait stuff that's been going on the last 2 weeks, I mean, man, it reminds me of some men that like to get the shit knocked out of them from, like, dominatrix. They like to be pissed on. They like to be shit on. They like to be spit on. They like to be slapped around. They like to be whipped. They like to be punched in the face. That's what a lot of people online like with a lot of these wrestling sites. You know, all this clickbait stuff. There's been an insane amount of clickbait the last couple of weeks.
I mean, the clickbait is really bad. I don't know if I'd attribute it to some kind of sexual fantasy.
Well,
or fetish,
I'm just saying, like, they keep getting beat up. Well, everybody tuning in, and they come back for more. Give me more. Just keep stepping on me. You know, I'm still waiting for that HBO Max deal with AEW and all this. People don't realize a lot of crazy shit that's been going down the last couple of weeks.
It's not new. Every WrestleMania, this happens. Every WrestleMania, people come out with, hey, I know the final results to WrestleMania 4 weeks out. Hey, I know who the surprise entrance at the Royal Rumble will be. Hey, I know who's going to be the special guest at Wrestle. Like, this is common.
I know.
This is not new. This has been going on since your Minority Report days, yeah. DT. This is something that wrestling news media has always been very guilty of. Either they take a little snippet of information and they completely fantasize what it means, and they take something that's honest and just go completely left field with it, or they just completely make shit up because it sounds logical to them.
Yeah.
This is not new. And unfortunately, a lot of the people that were trusted news associates from back in the day, people that were trusted news sources, Dave Meltzer, have fallen into this kind of grasp of just going with the wind. Yeah. And I don't know if it's a fetish. And I understand what you're saying by it, but I think this is quid pro quo for WrestleMania time, man.
Something else happened today. And listen, we love that RK-Bro is still the tag champs. Now, we hope, and we have talked about it before, a lot of us out there have hoped that WWE changed their mind about having RK-Bro split and a turn. And that could still happen because WrestleMania is still several weeks away. But the way it came out today, I don't think they are splitting. They regain the tag team championships, but holy shit. For those on video, if you didn't see it, I mean, Randy Orton, his timing is so insane. And I tell you, after watching this match today and his promo afterwards, you know, truly, he's got to be looked at as in the top five of maybe this generation. I'm talking about an overall performer. I'm not saying five-star right. matches. I'm just saying someone who has all the tools on the mic, in the ring, just, you know, just telling a story, timing. There's so many things that are just top-notch. And if people didn't see it earlier, during the three-way tag match for the tag titles, Chad Gable climbed the top rope to hit a moonsault. And as he executes the moonsault, here is Randy Orton, and there's the freaking RKO. I mean, the crowd went nuts. I looked at it, and I'm trying not to curse tonight, but holy effing shit. Holy fucking shit. I mean, it's just, you go back and you watch it over and over again. It's not just the timing, but he literally did it this much off the mat. And intentionally did it this much off the mat. It's not like right. he aimed from up here and then came down here. If you look at it again, he just nailed it. And that was just insane. I mean,
it's been a meme for many years of jokes of Randy Orton coming out of nowhere, RKO out of nowhere. Like, he's had time to work on it. That is his signature move. That is what he's known for. And it doesn't surprise me that in all of these situations, he has enough wherewithal to jump into that move from the middle of something like a moonsault.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Kudos to Randy Orton awesome, for continuing man. To be a professional.
Yeah, I am so happy that they got those titles back. I mean, look, we talked about Rollins and Owens having the tag titles as well, and I think that's still going to happen. I mean, if everything stays status quo leading into WrestleMania, then I could see Rollins and Owens teaming up and getting those tag titles off of Randy and Riddle after Mania. So I think this is going to continue. I hope so. I hope they changed plans with that. So shout out to Joe Punches. Thank you very much, my friend. We'll get into your super chat in a little bit. Actually, no, we can actually answer it now because it actually has to do. Wait a minute. Why is this not updating? Oh, crap. Maybe I have to read these. Oh, wait a minute. No, maybe I don't. What's today's date? Oh, yeah, here it is. No, it's okay. You know what it was? AEW ran so late yesterday, I didn't realize that when we did the show last night, it was March 7th already. So I'm looking at right. March 7th comments, and I'm like, wait, these don't seem to make sense. But, yeah, it was from last night's show. But Joe Punches says, Randy saying... And we got a shout-out, Synapse 2K. Much love, my friend. Randy's saying he's having the best time of his career. He believes him. He seems to be having so much fun in chemistry with Riddle. And, yeah, I agree. When he said that for 20 years he's never used the F word, which I think he has if you think about it with Evolution, but he's never said the F word, but tonight he was going to say it, and that his friend. And he calls Riddle his friend. And, you know, this is the picture I'll always come off of from tonight. I mean, that was just awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think you could get any better than that tonight on Raw. I mean, and the match itself.
It was a stellar match. It was a good match all the way around. Everybody got some offense in there. Otis was looking good in there. Like, it was a solid match through and through, and I'm glad, because we did see the writing on the wall for Riddle and Orton, and it did look like, you know, once they lost those titles the first time around, we're like, ah, this might be the end. This might be the beginning of the end. Obviously, you know, they split up AJ and Omos, who was insanely over for what it was. And it looked like Riddle and Orton were going to go at it. And I'm kind of like, at the time, I was like, man, that's a really bad idea. And I'm glad that whether it was creative, whether it was Riddle and Orton, whether it was Vince himself, stepped in and said, no, let's keep these guys together just a little while longer. So I can safely say that it doesn't feel like they're going to break up Riddle and Orton before Mania. It feels like they're going to continue down this path. And you know what? Orton is fine being a tag team champion. He doesn't always have to be in the hunt for the main event belt. You know, he's doing fantastic work with Riddle. He's clearly having more fun, like even Joe admitted. He's having more fun now than he has in a while in his career. The fans are appreciative of it. I know there's some people that don't like Orton or don't like Riddle, but you have to admit, these two have a good chemistry together, something you want to see in more tag teams. Yeah. You want to see this kind of a relationship in more tag teams.
Yeah.
So for the time being, totally happy with this. Hope this continues forward.
Yeah. Want to give a special shout out. Somebody tuning in from Cleveland tonight. And by the way, Xylot Themes, thank you again, my friend, for the Donzilla sign tonight, which definitely made a return appearance to TV. Thank you very much for that. Eddie K. That's actually, speaking of Xylot Themes, what's up, Eddie? Hope you had a great time at Raw tonight. Much love. Thank you, as always, my friend. And we got a little shout-out, AS7607. It kind of sucks that you had to pay, you know, for this announcement, but, you know, I didn't notice it in the chat. But congrats. Her sister is having a baby, so you're going – that makes you an aunt. You will be an aunt.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
It'll be Auntie7607.
Yeah. Yes. Auntie7607. We'll answer this quick. Even, you know, what extent do the networks have with creative control in their contracts there at WWE? Vince made it sound like they demand a lot of creative control over creative. No, the networks want some talent on their shows. They, you know, ask for certain talent. I mean, look, they're not going to tell WWE how to write this story. But they definitely have some input.
But showmen, they want the people that will get people to tune into their network. I think as far as the demand that they have, it's really a lot of branding stuff. It's a lot of logo stuff. It's a lot, we want Roman on this show. We want Brock on this show. Because ultimately, the networks want the most exposure. And that's their biggest argument. That's the argument between the networks. It isn't which show is better or which stories are better. They just care about more people tuning in.
Yeah. I want to, I guess we can use this Casey is Raw's comment to segue into another topic. First, The Undertaker, now Vader. And I know a lot of people out there. All right. I know a lot of people out there. Listen, I appreciate the comments, and I totally understand, you know. But before I give Casey credit for the creative comment just now, because I don't think people got the way he wrote it, there are quite a few comments tonight that why did they wait until Vader died to put him in the Hall of Fame? And I agree 100% with everyone out there. Vader was deserving years ago. Nice guy. Didn't have, you know, a lot of controversy surrounding him. They waited, they waited, they waited, and then it was too late. And I guess there was guilt not to put him in immediately after, because people, I think, would have really ragged on WWE further. But, you know, Casey, as Raw said, first WWE inducts the dead man, and now they induct the dead man. Good one, Casey. Good one.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's gallows humor at the finest. But you know what? WWE's done that before. I remember the same argument being brought up with China. China belonged in the Hall of Fame for a long time, and they waited until after she passed. But at the same time, we also had other scenarios too, like Ultimate Warrior, who literally got into the Hall of Fame and then passed after Raw the night after. So I'm not really sure what dictates the reason why or when WWE physically inducts people in, but I don't think it's as sinister as they're waiting for people to die before they induct them. I don't believe that.
I don't think people think that. I think people just feel that WWE takes their sweet ass time for putting certain people in.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I totally agree with that. But yeah, I don't think they're like, they don't have a death list or nothing like
no,
that.
No, no. So. Vader is going in this year for 2022 Hall of Fame. And I think it's fucking awesome. And for anyone out there that has any resentment that WWE's put him in now after he's passed, let me just say a couple of things. Number one, Vader's family is ecstatic that he's going in. And that's what matters. Number two, and I think this is probably even more, a lot of people thought that Undertaker was going in by himself. And, you know, whichever side you felt on that, you know, your opinions were very strong. The fact that WWE is inducting others with the Undertaker, I think that's a little extra special. So the fact, shout out to Casey, now a member. Ah, see, I kissed your ass. Now you kiss my ass, mother. And by the way, Casey, make sure you check out the community section. We got a little cheap plug for tomorrow. Something cool going down. But no, this is extra special. You're going in the same class as The Undertaker. That's pretty fucking sweet. I think anybody that gets put in the Hall of Fame, especially those that are alive, you go in the same class as The Undertaker. Sure, Undertaker is going to hog all the spotlight, and deservingly so. But you put him next to The Undertaker, that's pretty sweet, man. You think I want to, if I went into a Hall of Fame for something, you know, you think I want to go in with, like, scrubs? You know, and look, maybe some people would want to go in a Hall of Fame with scrubs because then they think they stand out better. But no, I'd rather be side by side with some absolute phenomenal legends. So I think that's awesome, man.
Right.
I think that's awesome. So Casey says Undertaker should have went in alone. You know, there's a lot of people that felt that way. There's a lot of people that felt the way. Now, I don't think this is really a debate. I think if you followed Vader's career, I think it's a given. I think this is Captain Obvious. I think that there is only one man that should be putting Vader in the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know if you're thinking what I'm thinking, but if you are thinking what I'm thinking, then I think everybody else may be thinking what I'm thinking that you're thinking. And I'm doing that on purpose because Mick Foley once in a promo said, if he's thinking what I'm thinking and you're thinking what I'm thinking. I think Mick Foley has to put Vader in the Hall of Fame. What do you think?
It would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he lost his ear to the man, you know?
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. I think that would be good.
You know? He lost a lot of brain cells with the concussions, too. My God, their feuds in WCW, shit.
Sure.
Mighty Mighty, welcome to the family. You have some fun tomorrow.
What about Cornette? You think Cornette has a possibility?
I would definitely like, you know what popped up on my feed today? Recommended viewing, Jim Cornette talking about Vader from 2 years ago. So yeah. I got to see what he said about Vader. If he gave a lot of love to Vader, then yeah, I could see that as a possibility. But I think WWE, for less controversy, you know, I think that they probably would just go with Mick Foley. I have a soft spot for Mick Foley. You know that. But congratulations, Vader. And I'm pretty excited to see who else goes in. Who else goes in? You know, it's gonna be awesome, man. I don't know why people are complaining about this mania. I honestly don't. You know, I mean, you know,
it's because now there's tribalism attached to it. You know, so there's a lot of people that are no longer fans of WWE that don't want WrestleMania to be good and want it to fail.
Yeah. SRH John loves the Vader theme. Oh, yeah, I want to hear it. I mean, I heard a little teaser tonight on Raw, but that's why, you know, some people, you know, when I put the thumbnail, earlier, a lot of people don't even realize that Vader used to call himself the man. He would taunt the crowd. Who's the man? You know, a lot of wrestlers called themselves the man over the years. It's not just owned by Becky Lynch, and it's not just owned by Ric Flair, you know, depending on which side you're on. But Vader's theme was pretty good, man. I mean, his WWE theme was pretty awesome. And, yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Case, that, you know, maybe some people should be considered taken out of the Hall of Fame. It's just the problem is, you know, when you look at the world of pro wrestling with so much misbehavior, you think about wrestlers that are Hall of Famers now and what they used to do with hazing and all the drug activity and misbehavior back then, just because they're not doing it now, you know, with the, some of the stuff they were doing back in the day is not Hall of Fame material. I just think you don't, you know, invite those people to come back. And you basically, you just put it on the shelf unless it's, you know, something absolutely atrocious. You know, I think you keep them in the Hall of Fame. That's how I always looked at it. So, oh, yeah, sure. Jazz definitely should be inducted. There's so many. There's so many. But, you know, now with this legacy wing, you know, that's their cheap way out sometimes. But so very quickly, we're going to run down Raw a little bit because we're almost halfway through tonight's show. For those that don't know, I have been hired, no joke, to be the official host for NXT watch parties. And I was offered SmackDown. I am not sure because I would like to have at least one day off during the week. But as a result, all the shows, with the exception of Saturday, because Saturday technically is the main show that Blue Wire likes and everything, we're cutting down the lengths of the shows down to an hour, maybe 10 minutes over. Special days, obviously, we go longer than that, but, you know, it's just too much content during the week, especially since so many of you like to tune into other shows. So when you see us running through some things a little bit quicker, it's only so, you know, it's a better chance that you may tune into, you know, more episodes than getting stuck on one episode that's 2 or 3 hours long. I'll give you details on the watch party a little bit later because it's pretty awesome. You don't see my face. You actually see the wrestling. That's something you don't see on YouTube with watch-alongs. We'll talk about that later. But I tell you, man, this put a smile on my face today. Bron Breakker makes his WWE Raw debut, not only a backstage promo, but in the ring. And I tell you, man, I get it that there are people out there that will complain about every little thing. And I saw loads of people, because he was trending for a few minutes, I saw loads of people saying, wow, he's such a tough son of a bitch on NXT. He shows up on Raw and he's smiling like a goof, that he's just smiling from ear to ear. Vince McMahon has taken away his attitude. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think the man is just fucking ecstatic that he is made Raw. The $1 billion, I mean, these wrestlers that come to WWE, this is what they always aim for. And this is his first opportunity to be on Raw in front of millions of people at home, in front of 10,000 plus in the arena. I think the guy was just happy to be there. What the fuck is wrong with that? Am I wrong, Mish?
No. I think that's a big part of it right there, too. I think the idea was, you know, to kind of introduce him to the main roster fans and, you know, eventually pepper him in more. I mean, it's no surprise that Ron is one of the most popular guys in NXT right now. Not only is he the champion, but obviously being the son of a Steiner goes a long way as with WWE fans. So bringing him up there tonight, obviously, and then the crossover with Rude and Dolph and everything else, made perfect sense to me.
Yeah, we're going to start running down Raw, because Raw, it was overall a pretty damn good show.
Sure.
Now, we'll get to Becky Lynch in a little bit, because they really didn't talk about one part of something with Raw tonight with Becky. She did not appear, neither did Brock, because they were selling what went down at Madison Square
Garden. Well, they showed it in the beginning, right?
Yeah, they showed the recap, so let's talk a little bit about Raw. Oh, also, you know what? Let's get this out of the way because I know some people were asking about it. Yesterday on AEW, there was a little bit of concern for Orange Cassidy, Ricky Starks, Isaiah Cassidy, and Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara and Isaiah Cassidy.
Nothing for Eddie Kingston or Jade Cargill?
Huh?
I said nothing for Eddie Kingston or Jade Cargill?
No, not really. Jade Cargill's fine. Eddie Kingston, a little sore eye, but he's okay. But they were concerned because of Ricky Starks was his neck history and the way he was powerbombed on the ladder. Orange Cassidy, because when he was tossed by Keith Lee, he was overshot and he pretty much landed flat on the outside area. And then Isaiah Cassidy and Sammy Guevara, when he hit the Spanish fly from the stage through the tables, they had two tables set up and they totally missed one of the tables. And, you know, especially Isaiah Cassidy, his ankle went like that against the concrete floor.
Yeah, yeah.
So bumps and bruises.
The only reason I said that was because Kingston landed on his head.
No, that was Jericho.
They really bypassed that.
jericho was the one that landed on his head first. Kingston a little bit later. I know you're talking about with Kingston too.
Yeah, no, Jericho landed on like his neck, which was a little rough to watch. Kingston landed on the top of his head, which was very scary looking. Like I'm sure he obviously he's okay, but when it happened, it was scary as shit. Jade Cargill dropped on her head like what, 2-3 times in her match?
Yeah, she was joking about it on social media today. But she's okay. The one person who there's some concern about is Orange Cassidy. He definitely suffered a shoulder injury. One person told me that it is just very sore and sprained. Someone else told me that it was a separated shoulder. I did not see anything that made me think it was separated. And a few people who were there live that DM'd me said that the way he was carried off, it didn't seem like it was separated either. But still, he took a hard fall, and right now it's, bumps and bruises more than anything else. So let's just hope that it was, nothing broken or dislocated or separated. So best wishes go out to him. If you want to check out last night's recap, I go like that, you could check it out. So Raw tonight, we opened up with the three-way tag. Actually, you know what? Before we even talk about that, we had the match, the three-way tag team match, Alpha Academy defending the tag titles, but we had a couple of talking segments first. So the match technically didn't start until about 10, 15 minutes in. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins come out first that they're not having a good 2022, and they talk about WrestleMania and how their plans changed due to factors beyond their control, little teasing. But they plan on winning the tag titles and going on to Mania. Alpha Academy comes out. They added Chad Gable's shoosh to their entrance theme, which I liked. They come out and they talk about retaining their tag titles. They plug Mania. Then we have, Kevin Owens also ripping Dallas, Texas, continuing that. But Randy Orton in the back with Riddle. Riddle talking about regaining the tag titles and Randy Orton saying that they are going to win by any means necessary. And he is pumped. The crowd is lit up. You hear them. This is not piped in stuff. And we then go to the match. And early on in the match, Otis pretty much dominating. The mistake early on, and I think this planted the seed for later on, and who knows, I think we may see a split with Otis and Chad Gable. And the reason why I say that is because early in the match, Otis went and was going at it with Riddle and hit a splash on Riddle, went for the pin, and picked up Riddle at two, like the old school heels used to do. He used to like torment their opponent, torture them. I'm not pinning him yet. And the announcers were selling that. Chad Gable will have something to say about that later on, that you don't do that. So they called it a big mistake. And I don't want to jump one step ahead, but the Street Profits later on, they're talking about what they want to do at Mania. They remind us that they beat RK-Bro last week. And then they turn around and say, oh, by the way, Chad, Otis, Chad's stealing your money. Talk about something out of nowhere.
Right.
I don't know. Do you see a possible split with Otis and Gable coming sooner than later?
I mean, can we stop making these big changes right before WrestleMania? Like, they need to curb some of that shit. Because people already have it in their minds what they want to see. They already want to see these tag teams. I don't know, man. Unless they're going to, like, split them up next week, and then the week after that make the match, and then the week after that have some kind of an angle where they fight, and then the week after that it's WrestleMania. So it's like, I don't know. It's like they're really forcing along these storylines. If they are going to break them up, I mean, I don't know if I see that, but I'd rather them hold off to at least after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know,
Otis,
like, losing WrestleMania, talking shit about somebody's money is a dumb reason to split up.
Yeah.
Losing a WrestleMania match, losing the title opportunity at WrestleMania, that's a reason for a partner to get mad at each other. It's almost like WWE sometimes doesn't really understand the gravity of one thing versus another, you know? And this is against their own brand. It's not even like just some random outside thing that's happened between Chad and you know, it's, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it could happen. You're right.
Yeah. Well, Otis continuing the domination in the match. And I, what you said, I agree. I think next week, I think Chad is going to cut a promo and blame it on Otis for not just pinning Riddle. And I think Otis will remind Gable that he was the one that was pinned. And I think that's where the dissension comes in. I think that's what's going to happen next week on Raw. So Otis, a funny point during the match. At one point, he's dominating, and he looks at Kevin Owens, and Otis, suck it. He does the DX chop, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
He missed the Vader bomb onto Riddle, and Riddle finally gets the hot tag onto Randy Orton. And Randy Orton's cleaning house. And I swear to God, this crowd is so – I think Randy Orton might arguably be the number one most over wrestler in that company right now as a babyface. The crowd, I mean, Cleveland, Ohio tonight was lit up for Randy Orton.
Sure.
He hit a double DDT onto Chad Gable and Seth Rollins. Then he hits the RKO onto Rollins. Kevin Owens pulls Randy Orton out of the ring. And then we get Rollins. He puts Owens, him and Owens put Chad Gable onto a table. And then RK-Bro splashes Otis. So we had three people go through the table. I think Owens went through the table, Chad Gable went through the table, and then RK-Bro, they picked up Otis. The table didn't break all three times, so they reinforced the table for tonight. They didn't want that table to break. But later on in the match, Seth Rollins curb stomps Riddle's chest, starts staring at the WrestleMania sign, puts a triangle choke. Gable breaks it up. Chad Gable hits four suplexes, two to Riddle and two to Rollins. And then we get the crazy moonsault turned into an RKO out of nowhere. Holy shit. And the crowd just lost it. So Kevin Owens then stuns Chad Gable. Seth Rollins curb stomps Chad Gable. And just when we thought that Seth Rollins was going to pin Chad Gable, here comes Riddle. Riddle throws Seth Rollins out of the ring. We don't know where Otis is. Maybe still selling the table. Riddle throws Rollins out of the ring. Randy Orton grabs Kevin Owens' leg so he can't get back in the ring. Seth Rollins tries to run back in the ring, but too late. Riddle steals the victory, and your new tag team champions, RK-Bro. After the match is over, you got Seth Rollins very methodically walking up the rampway, looking extremely dejected. You had Kevin Owens sitting in the corner by the ring steps, looking extremely dejected. We had no camera shots on Otis or Chad Gable, which I thought was kind of terrible, to be honest. But Riddle and Orton are celebrating in the ring. and Kevin Patrick goes to interview them, and Riddle says they're going to WrestleMania, and that's when Randy Orton gets on the mic, and he says, I've been doing this more than 20 years now, and I've never had this much fun as I am having right now in this ring with my partner, and I'm going to say something I haven't said in 20 years. I'm going to use the F word, and he uses the word friend, and he truly feels that Riddle is his friend, and he is having a time of his life. This went about 45 minutes into Raw, and I just thought it was fabulous. I hate that people started comparing it to last night's three-way at AEW. It's two totally different type of matches. You know, yesterday is about spots more than anything else. Today is about storytelling. It's heavily on the storytelling, but I love that match tonight. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but that match was awesome. What'd you think overall?
Well, the match was fantastic. I mean, I enjoyed all three of the teams involved in there, and the fact that they got the belts back, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the way it should have been. And the fact that we solidify them for a longer point, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I think the double dating that we joked about last week is happening because they remind us about the dueling kisses last week with Dana Brooke and Reggie, Tamina and Tozawa. Today we have a match, Dana Brooke defending the 24/7 championship against Tamina. Before the match, Dana Brooke wants a kiss from Reggie. Yeah. Kind of a sexy kiss, I guess some people would say. So now Tozawa wants some from Tamina. And Tozawa, you know, Tamina's a little bit more rough with her kisses, but Tozawa seems to absolutely love it. The match itself was shit. I mean, basically what happened was at one point early in the match, Tamina put a Boston Crab on Dana Brooke. Somehow Dana Brooke broke out of it and just grabbed Tamina's legs and rolled her up and pinned her. Dana leaves the ring. Tozawa gets on the mic. You cheated. You cheated. The winner of the match, the love of my life, Tamina. And Tozawa wants a kiss in the ring. He's got his eyes closed. The crowd is chanting. They want Tamina to kiss him. So instead, Tamina, she's walking away. She turns back and Tozawa's like,
she throws him a kiss.
What do you think? Is that like to satisfy like the kiddies and the lighthearted entertainment?
Yeah, I didn't think there was anything bad about that segment.
Not a bad.
Yeah, it's the cornball relationship angle. It happens every once in a while. WWE likes pairing up the women with certain other wrestlers. It wasn't that long ago that Nia was going through different guys like Reggie and Enzo and others too. So it's, and Dana and Reggie got their thing going now as well. And Corey and Carmella are now kind of intermingled into storyline on the outside. So yeah, no, it's just more of the WWE rhetoric. I think it's funny that Tozawa and Nia or Tamina. So
Tozawa's in comedy segments like R-Truth. I don't think anybody really wants Tozawa to suddenly become serious and go for an IC title.
Right.
No, go ahead.
No, I agree. There's nothing serious about it.
Yeah, I mean, Tozawa's more lighthearted comedy. You know, I don't think anybody wants Tozawa to suddenly get serious, cut a promo, I'm better than that, I'm a good wrestler. You know, I don't think anybody wants to see that. Seriously, I think he knows his role and he's having a good time. By the way, later on, we got a little shirt giveaway. Three shirts being given away. We had a little contest on Saturday Night Show, and the people you see on the screen right now were actually the ones that won the contest, and we said all the people that got, it was basically guess Brock Lesnar's opponent at Madison Square Garden. These gentlemen all chose Austin Theory, so later on, I'm going to spin that freaking wheel, and whoever it lands on is going to win three shirts. Their choice, AEW, WWE, podcasts, even people that I don't like, or people that don't like me, whatever you want, you get three. So, Miz, Logan Paul, Jerry the King Lawler, Cleveland homecoming party, they're all from Cleveland. And I don't know if you picked up on it, Mish, but it seems like they planted the seed for Logan Paul to knock out Miz after their WrestleMania loss.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on it with Logan Paul's reaction to Miz at the end of the segment?
It is interesting. I did like that whole segment. I thought it was kind of funny that Miz turned on Cleveland. It's also nice to see Jerry Lawler out there. Jerry Lawler looking okay.
Absolutely. Miz comes out there. Cleveland is awesome. He brings out Logan Paul. They mock the Mysterios, but like father and son, but mostly Rey Mysterio. Miz saying that if he followed his father's footsteps, he would have been flipping burgers at Mr. Hero, which is a pretty good burger and gyro chain in Ohio. So they bring out Jerry Lawler, who's wearing a Browns jersey. Jerry Lawler has an idea that they should have a WrestleMania in Cleveland. And the crowd is going nuts for it. Logan Paul says he likes the idea. Miz doesn't like the idea. Miz says, you know, unfortunately, you know, in order to succeed, you got to go elsewhere, just like him. And he brought up the Cleveland Browns. They went to Baltimore and they won the Super Bowl. He brings up Odell Beckham Jr. He brings up LeBron James that, you know, after he left, and he says, you know, winners leave Cleveland. And when he made that remark, winners leave Cleveland, Logan Paul's like, I don't agree with that. So Miz is like, come on, let's go. And as Miz is walking down the rampway, Logan Paul is like, I don't agree with that. So to me, there's the seed planted that Logan Paul and Miz are not going to be on the best buddy page at times. And I think after that match is over, when they lose, I think Logan Paul knocks out the Miz. I see that coming a mile away.
Yeah. It'll be your little celebrity moment of the night too. So,
yeah.
Yep.
I think when we get into the WrestleMania card, you could see how night one and night two are shaping up. You know, one might be more in an entertainment value more than anything else, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. So as we said earlier, the Street Profits cutting their promo. Now we get Breaker and Ciampa over the Dirty Dogs. We get the backstage interview with Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa. Now, don't forget, tomorrow they are going to be fighting against each other in a three-way. We did not see any dissension tonight between Tommaso Ciampa and Bron Breakker. Tonight, they were a tag team. And Bron Breakker, you could see a little bit nervous, but I think as the match went on, he started finding his groove, did a little bit of his power moves. Crowd, not into him completely yet, but he got a good reaction, and he hit a bunch of his power moves. They get the victory. He gets the pin as well. Sure. And after the match is over, Dolph Ziggler gets on the mic, congratulates him, and reminds him about tomorrow night, because tomorrow night it's Bron Breakker versus Tommaso Ciampa versus Dolph Ziggler for the NXT Heavyweight Championship at Roadblock. So what did you think of this match overall?
Yeah, no, it was a fun match to introduce people into the NXT. The feud that's going on, it was fine. It was a decent match, and I don't know. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I think tomorrow will be interesting because there might be a swerve. I really do, and it would be very interesting if they swerve and put Dolph in the forefront for NXT 2.0. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it feels like it would be too much of a cookie-cutter match if Dolph was just to lose again, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Omos tonight, little danger, Mish. Oh. He entered for a few moments. He entered Ahmed Johnson territory. Nah. I can't play it. You go back and watch the promo again, I promise you will pee your pants. Omos is in the back being interviewed, and he's asked, how do you feel that you don't have a match at WrestleMania? And he's pissed off, and he says if he has to go through every WWE superstar to show that he needs to be at WrestleMania, he will. Unfortunately, Omos doesn't talk like that. And Omos, when he gets extremely angry, I mean really angry, he then turns into Ahmed Johnson. And tonight, he's like,
I don't care if I will. I have to beat every WWE superstar.
At the very end of his promo, he got extra loud, and it turned into Ahmed Johnson. I couldn't understand a fucking word that he said. I couldn't understand a single word that he said after that.
Direly needs a damn manager. Why are they letting this guy hang himself? I mean, the worst thing about Omos is, the guy's not ready to talk. He has good screaming or whatever, and he's an imposing threat. But this guy isn't ready to stand on his own like that.
Yeah.
He's at the point right now that he needs as much help as possible, and they're just throwing him to the wolves. And right before WrestleMania at that, this guy is going to be, screw Ahmed Johnson. This guy is going to be El Gigante by the end of WrestleMania. Oh. He's going to be a complete joke. They're going to put him in a muscle suit and just put a bullet in his career. You know?
Listen, you've said it for quite a little while now that Omos should have a manager. And you said, with MVP doing nothing right now, why not put MVP with Omos? And I thought about your scenario, and I envisioned this. I could picture MVP. While Bobby Lashley is out, he manages Omos. Omos has obtained the services from MVP. Omos gets a little bit of a winning streak. Even what he did tonight with MVP in his corner. Then Bobby Lashley, when he's ready to return, you could see a little bit of dirty looks towards each other.
Yeah, you got drama.
Yeah.
Right.
Bobby Lashley could look at Omos. What's this guy doing here?
Right.
And Omos could be like this. And who knows? Right. That could lead to MVP having this thought in his head that Omos is the future.
Wasn't there
and not Bobby
a storyline? Gosh, and I want to say it happened a while ago. I don't know if it's Heenan old, but wasn't there a storyline where you had two heels in the same faction underneath the same manager, but they were jealous of each other? So when they would have tag team matches, they would kind of sabotage each other by one tagging themselves in when they weren't supposed to, or not letting their tag team partner get the pin because they wanted the pin.
Well,
I mean, I could have swore I've seen all this happen before in the past.
I'll tell you one. It wasn't two tag teams. It was one tag team that didn't get along and they had a manager. RVD and Sabu and ECW with Bill Alfonso as their manager.
Okay, right.
Because Sabu always constantly, like with RVD, or you know, RVD would say something and Bill Alfonso, and then Sabu would just hit like Bill Alfonso. They did not get along at all. With a manager, that's a good one, though. Not too many with a manager in the middle as a mediator.
Right.
Because we have not had that many managers in recent memory. I guess you could kind of say that a little bit if Don Callis was around a little bit more. That may happen a little bit. It seems like Don Callis is 1,000% behind Kenny Omega. So I don't see him getting his immediate mediary between Omega and the Young Bucks and Red Dragon and Adam Cole. But RVD and Sabu is the ones that I could think of right away. I don't see anybody in the chat room thinking of anybody. I'm sure if somebody.
Yeah, I know it's happened. It was definitely back in the WWF days. It might have been Jimmy Hart. It was definitely one of the cornerstone managers of WWF back in the day, where they had two guys that happened to be in the same team. And they were both part of either the Heenan family or Jimmy Hart's group, but they didn't like each other. And so they would do crappy things to one another. And I could absolutely see Omos. And when Bobby Lashley returns, maybe Omos is in the ring too long or Bobby Lashley's in the ring too long. And Omos reaches in and slaps Bobby on the shoulder and the ref calls it in. And you start screwing with each other that way. And then you have MVP in the back trying to like pick it apart. And this is where you end up with a feud like that. But yeah, no, leaving Omos out there by himself tonight to, as you said, be Ahmed Johnson is not a positive step for this guy. In fact, it was kind of embarrassing. Don't get me wrong. Apollo Crews flying all over the place was fine. You had General Adnan outside the ring. I'm joking.
Omos looks at him. You're next.
Right. But he didn't do any favors either, though, because instead of being an imposing guy, because he's 7 foot himself, instead of being an imposing guy and looking like he wanted to fucking throw hands with Omos, he just kind of was staring off at the side and looking at Apollo and stuff like that. It was just really awkward.
Yeah. Well, Omos beats Apollo Crews in a matter of a couple of minutes. We had a couple of clips early on. Seth Rollins looking very dejected backstage. Kevin Owens looking very dejected backstage. That's early on, but something else will happen in a little bit. Next segment we had was Edge. And they did exactly what you and I talked about last week. Center in the ring,
yeah.
Dark purple lights, and Edge gets on the mic, getting incredible heat from the crowd. That was not piped in. That crowd just loud boos that just went on and on and on. He finally gets on the mic, and the first words out of his mouth was, "You think you know me?" And he just basically says, "I need the best AJ, that flesh-tearing pit bull. I helped you, AJ, but you helped me too. It helped the real me break through, and it felt so good." I did write quotes down. He says, "This is me, a me I have never met before, and I have fallen in love with it." His promo was a lot shorter than I think we expected it to be, but the guy, I mean, after all these years not being able to wrestle and people beloved him so much, and on a switch of a light, the man is arguably next, well, I should say with Raw, the number one heel on Raw. What'd you think of the segment tonight?
Gross.
Really?
Absolute dog shit.
Okay.
He said nothing. He said nothing. You literally read off what he said, and it sounds like emo poetry. He said nothing. I thank you, AJ, allowing me to beat you with this chair so I can become the real me. What are you talking about, you idiot? We've seen you for how many years? You're telling me this is a different dimension of your character that we could not fathom? Edge went evil? Oh, no. It is horrible. It was dumb. Dude, I wanted a reason. You know what I mean? Like, if you just savagely turn and beat the ever-loving crap out of somebody with a chair, and I mean in a visceral, vicious kind of way, you have a reason. Not, I wanted to get in touch with my dark side. Like, what kind of, like, lawn cutter mowing crap is that going on? Dude, this was a horrible, horrible segment. And the fact that they had to swathe him in Undertaker purple for some reason, like he's back in touch with his ministry roots. It is the dumbest thing they could have possibly done. Now, if he came out and said, "You know what? AJ was looking at my wife, and he thought that I didn't notice. AJ wanted to bone my wife, and I beat the shit out of that guy," I would have been like, "That's what you do." But instead, "I am dark, and you people do not know me here in Cleveland, Ohio."
You know what?
So stupid. I was so happy when the thing was over.
He could have said what he said last week tonight instead, and that could have been enough. He could have said, "Why would I want the AJ Styles that spent the last year teaming up with Omos? That's disrespectful to me." You know, I could have said what he said tonight, and I think maybe it would have been better accepted. Interesting. I'm curious, you know, in the comment section afterwards, everyone, post, what's, you know, did you like it? Or, you know, Mish make some valid points. You know, it's the rated R superstar. I mean, the ultimate opportunist. You know, the crazy nuclear heat shit that he got in the past. If this is a new me, what the hell was the old me?
Right. Dude, you've had an entire legacy career in WWE. What are you surprising us with? Give us a reason, you know?
Yeah. Well, next, you know, earlier I showed you the picture of Kevin Owens dejected in the back. He had an epiphany. And he's got a WrestleMania idea, a new WrestleMania idea, that he is going to reveal tonight at the end of the show. And look, everybody, I don't like disrespecting some valid wrestling news sites because they do work hard. There's one site that I actually do respect, but they wrote, they fell in the trap tonight. They wrote exclusive breaking news, and they said Steve Austin's plans at Mania, and they played both sides of the coin, so they knew that, you know, they couldn't be called out on it. But the thing is that some guy named Kermit that's always on Reddit that always posts a lot of spoilers from, I think he works behind the scenes. He posted for 5 minutes earlier that Kevin Owens was going to close out Raw tonight, call out Steve Austin. I saw the Reddit post. Everybody saw the Reddit post. So that's why I changed my title an hour and a half before. I got a couple of DMs. DT, why are you having your title, Kevin Owens calls out Steve Austin? It hasn't even happened yet. I said, because I'm lazy. I don't want to do it literally 2 minutes before showtime. But Kevin Owens has an idea that he's going to reveal later on in the night. So we get a recap of what happened in MSG with Brock and Roman. They showed it again later on. We then get Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan versus Queen Zelina and Carmella. Basically, the deal in this match, titles are not on the line, but if Rhea and Liv Morgan could win, they're added to the match at WrestleMania. And look, I get it. Rhea Ripley, you know, was teaming up with Nikki A.S.H. You know, she's not getting a singles push, but she ain't getting a singles push right now because of the other participants fighting for their titles. So
right,
Rhea and Liv win. So they are now added to the tag match at WrestleMania. I don't have a problem with that because it gives Liv and Rhea a WrestleMania spot. I'm still, I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm still stuck with, why is, in storyline, is Sonya Deville allowing Naomi to fight for the tag titles at Mania? Something's going to happen between now and Mania to answer that. Why suddenly she looks the other way when Naomi's getting a WrestleMania opportunity? So I think that needs to be addressed still. But this match tonight, really, it didn't do much of anything. The only problem I had with the match was watching Zelina Vega hit a tornado DDT on Rhea Ripley. That's like Marco's stunt hitting it on Luchasaurus.
Right.
I love Zelina. I've defended Zelina. You know, I appreciate her work. Yeah. And Zelina's this big. And Rhea Ripley's this big. It just, it looked ridiculous tonight.
You didn't have a problem with the Carmella Corey Graves stuff on the outside?
Well, you know what? That's all because of the reality show that apparently the series is already over. I heard the other day the finale is. I'm like, what? The finale? What was that?
It wasn't even really a series at this point. It was like one episode because each episode was like 10 minutes. So it was, what was it, four, five episodes? Oh. It was five episodes. So 50 minutes. It was literally like one episode of Total Bellas.
It's like a rehearsal. Like, this is their resume to send out there. Like, hey, you know, we'll shop it around. Maybe somebody would like to hire us.
Well, they'll definitely make more. This was a success. This was a great success in comparison to what it should have been or could have been.
Yeah.
The stuff with the outside, you know, and on a side note, I don't know if you really talk too much about it with Pat McAfee and Vince McMahon. And obviously, you know, Austin Theory is going to be brought in eventually to fight Pat McAfee and stuff like that. Don't you think it would have made more sense based upon what Corey Graves was talking about before if he had Corey Graves versus Pat McAfee? Yeah. And now follow me with this, because Corey Graves was telling everybody about the internet buzz that he was going around with the rumor mill, and he was excited for the people that were talking about this guy returning in the rumor mill. And I said, what if Corey's talking about himself?
That could still happen.
Cody Rhodes or anything else like that. And what would have made that even more interesting is, why not have color commentator versus color commentator? You want to have a wacky, zany match with Pat McAfee? Why not put him up against Corey Graves, you know, who's been apparently cleared?
I tell you, I let that sink in for a second. That is genius. Raw.
Simple.
Raw announcer, trash-talking SmackDown announcer. SmackDown announcer, trash-talking Raw announcer. Raw, trash-talking SmackDown. Pat McAfee, said, defending SmackDown, you don't talk about us like this. And that could lead to Vince McMahon saying, I got an idea. How's about right. both of you fighting the ring? That
right.
That and makes so much more sense when you think about it. That, you know, props.
Right. Well, thank That's you, awesome. Man. I mean, and you don't have to put Austin Theory in that mix because Austin Theory is arguably in a bigger position besides Pat. And that's not a shot on Pat. It's just Austin Theory needs legitimacy at WrestleMania. Austin Theory wrestling Pat McAfee is not going to be legitimacy. Yeah. You know? So
more of a comedy. I'm with you. Well, tonight we had Finn Balor versus Austin Theory. Balor wins by disqualification when Damian Priest shows up. And he basically beats the crap out of Finn Balor, leaves him laying, and Austin Theory once again, you know, and they allowed Theory to hit his finisher on an unconscious Balor to take more yeah. selfies. So, you know, that's, I mean, I guess this is WWE's way of trying to get extra heat on Austin Theory. But, you know, the match was good while it lasted, but Damian Priest pretty much ruined it. So
Quick question, and besides the fact that Damian Priest looked like he was coming out to the ministry, by the way.
Yes.
Do you heed any thoughts about Balor's comments about money and his contractual obligations as being a reason why he's already on the outs with the belt?
No, I don't think so. I think they just figured that, you know, Balor and Theory have some history with each other. And I think Balor, yeah. as over as he is, you know, how do you get heat on Theory? Well, he beats up one of your better baby faces. Maybe okay. Theory aligns with Damian Priest a little bit too, you know, in a tag match. Not saying like he's going to be part of a group, but I think that was just done to add a little heel heat on Theory. I don't think Balor is okay. going to have any issues. So,
Did you even discuss that at all yesterday or the day before? I'm not even sure. Yeah, his interview.
No, because I don't read into that much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Well,
read
no,
into
it was
it.
Just
I
interesting mean, because he was saying that money might not be enough, meaning that he was basically saying that he misses his family.
Yeah,
he's like, it's been 20 years since I've been able to go home.
Yeah,
and it's like nobody can sit there and fault the guy for that. Like that's a real reason to stop wrestling for a while is. You're tired. You miss your home. Well, how do you say no to a guy like that? You know,
he said that a couple of weeks ago when he went back to Ireland, I believe is where.
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, is it Ireland, everyone? I mean, I know he.
Yes.
Yeah. He goes back to his family. I mean, that's why he was off TV right. for a while. They gave him time. Right. He was with his girlfriend, I believe. I saw some of the pictures yeah. while he was there. I mean, one on a beautiful mountain. It's beautiful there. You know, you got that mental break. I mean, money is not always doesn't always create happiness. And look at right. Tony Storm. I mean, Tony Storm, right. you know, that was a mental break, almost an emotional breakdown for her that she just missed, you know, family and just was not happy and was still, you know, I don't want to put words in her mouth. She eventually will say it herself.
No, it's not even about, I mean, we can all empathize with somebody missing home. I'm sure at every single person that's watching this can empathize with being homesick, you know? So when you're talking about somebody on the level of Balor, who is now a title holder, you know, you wonder when he's saying things like money doesn't hold the same necessity as it did 20 years ago, you know, how long is he going to hold this title? How long is he going to be in WWE?
Yeah.
You know?
By the way, everybody, we got a couple of hundred tuning in live right now. If you're enjoying the episode, if you can take about 2 or 3 seconds, hit that thumbs up because that actually does help. The more likes, the more you're telling YouTube that you enjoyed the show, and they will in turn recommend tonight's episode to others. So I would absolutely love it if you could take a moment and hit that like button. I want to see it get into triple digits. When my hand goes up, anyway, Kevin Owens comes out to close the show. Actually, you know what? Before even that, they showed Bianca Belair the segment last week, the match, the incident with Becky Lynch getting whipped. And yesterday, or the day before, at the Garden, there was an incident with Becky Lynch and Bianca. Bianca.
Yeah.
I guess we could show this now before we get to the end, because we already talked about it. Actually, we don't even need to talk about the Owens. I mean, we can, but anyway, this picture popped up on Instagram from Becky Lynch. That is legit at a hospital. I mean, if you could look at the background, you could see the machines. It's legit. It wasn't a joke. You do see redness in her neck, so maybe she legitimately did have to go to the hospital, you know, for maybe some issue there. But she wrote online, and I quote, "Unfortunately, I will not be at Raw tonight. Not only did Bianca whip me mercilessly with the illegal weapon that is her hair last week, but last night in the main event at Allentown, she tried to take away my biggest weapon, the spoken word, by fracturing my voice box. She can't keep me down that easily. I'll be coming for her next week. You cannot spell WrestleMania without me, I believe. Oh, without man, I believe, or me. I think it's me. I think that's what she wrote. Look, as far as fractured voice box, I did some research on it today. I don't think she has a fractured voice box. Believe it or not, the recovery is not that long, everyone. You'd be surprised. But I think, obviously, she may have been inadvertently hit, may have to have gone. But, Mish, I know we talked about it numerous times in the last couple of weeks. I got to keep it alive. Because I know some people out there will just write it on Twitter once. And because it's on Twitter, then they have to be, they claim that they were the ones to break it. I think Becky Lynch is going to cut Bianca's hair. I think that hair is getting chopped off. I mean, it's going to be difficult. You literally have to use Brutus Beefcake hedge clippers. I think that hair is being cut off.
Yeah, they're definitely alluding to it. I mean, when she was whipped, that was one thing to believe it then, but now that they're really pushing through and she's got pictures up of her being in the hospital and she's alluding to the fact that this is all because of her hair, she's even calling it a foreign object. Like, yeah, there's going to be a comeuppance for it. Bianca Belair is going to get clipped.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Well, Bianca today basically, don't touch my hair. Don't touch my hair and none of this will happen. So I think the focus on the hair, shit's going down. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes down next week. I think shit's going down next week with the hair. So the closing segment, as we said at the opening of the show, Kevin Owens comes out and he wants to have the most stupendous Kevin Owens show of all time. He runs down various wrestlers from Texas, from JBL, the Booker T, the Shawn Michaels, but he wants to have the lowest scumbag of them all, low life, you know, I put words in his mouth, but guy with bad knees and, you know, that's got all these issues, he's an old man, and he finally says that he's going to not only embarrass this person, he's going to leave him for dead, and he's going to pour milk on him. And he calls out Stone Cold Steve Austin to show up at WrestleMania and be part of the Kevin Owens show. And that's how we go off Raw. Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
It was a decent Raw. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun Raw. It was a fun Raw. So right now, here's your lineups for WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2. So you could kind of see how they're putting, you know, the types of matches together. For Night 1, you got Charlotte versus Ronda for the SmackDown Women's Championship. You got Becky versus Bianca for the Raw Women's Championship. You got Rey and Dominic Mysterio versus Miz and Logan Paul. And then you got Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin. That is announced for Night 1. For Night 2, we have Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns title versus title unification match. We're not going to talk about it today because I want to get more information other than a tweet. But if you remember our discussion on last week's show and the idea of the WWE Unified Champion, something came out tonight, and it's identical of what we talked about last week. I want to get more info before we start bragging about it. But right now, it's Brock versus Roman unification match. You got Zelina and Carmella defending the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships against Sasha Banks and Naomi, along with Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. We have Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn. No title on the line, thank God. Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory. We don't know yet which night Edge versus AJ Styles will take place. I'm thinking night two, to be honest with you, because McAfee and Theory and Knoxville and Zayn are more novelty matches. What the semi-main event? I think Edge and AJ have to be night two. And then we got RK-Bro. We don't know what's going to happen there. I think it's going to end up being a gauntlet match in some way. But right now, we don't know what RK-Bro, who they'll be facing and which night in WrestleMania.
Right.
So, Cedric Alexander worked double duty tonight on main event. Cedric, and look, he lost twice. Cedric Alexander lost to Veer on main event. And then Cedric Alexander teamed up with Shelton Benjamin and they lost to the Street Profits. So Cedric worked double duty and lost twice tonight. Just wanted to make mention of it, you know, because a lot of people a little bit pissed off at the way the Hurt Business are being used in WWE right now. Very quickly, we just got ratings, two previews, and then tomorrow's watch party for anybody that's interested. That's a channel member or Patreon. Rampage did 545, which is a nice jump, but still under 600,000 is definitely a disappointment. SmackDown did 2.26 million, up 7%. I think their second highest show for 2022. Impact up 18% to 131. Any other ratings we talked about earlier in the week. But, you know, it's a nice little rebound for SmackDown and for Rampage, but I think Rampage needs to build on that. They had an excellent Friday night show, and to still get under 600,000 is, that's disappointing. I'm sorry. It's disappointing. So, tomorrow in NXT, we have Bron Breakker defending the NXT Heavyweight Championship against Tommaso Ciampa and Dolph Ziggler. We also have Imperium defending the tag titles against the Creed Brothers. And then we have LA Knight versus Grayson Waller in a last man standing match. Wednesday on Dynamite, we have Sammy Guevara versus Scorpio Sky for the TNT title. Paige Van Zandt will sign her AEW contract, so it appears it'll happen Wednesday. Then you got Layla Hirsch and Thunder Rosa facing off. And the winner of that match will take on Britt Baker. St. Patrick's event, St. Patrick's Day's event. And that's pretty much tonight's show. Now, I want to just give this a quick plug. And again, I don't want anybody to feel like they're left out of it. The reason why it's not open to every single person right now is because the company that hired me, working with Blue Wire, they have a max capacity as far as number of people that could be part of the stream. If anybody goes on YouTube, you know that there are watch-alongs all the time. And if you've ever seen a watch-along, and I've done a few as well, when you tune in, you see the host's face. You don't see the wrestling. You don't hear the wrestling. Otherwise, you get copyright strikes from the wrestling company. This company actually has permission to host watch parties. And basically, tomorrow, I will be the official host for NXT Roadblock, and I opened it up to Patreon members and YouTube channel members. Since when you add the numbers together, I know it'll be under max. I don't want to put it out there for everybody because then what happens, the server overloads and then no show, no watch party. Right. So in the very near future, it'll be available to everybody. But if you are a channel member or a patron, if you want to show up tomorrow between 8 and 10 p.m., and just go into Patreon or go in the community section. Now, for those out there that keep saying, I don't see it in the community section, that's because you're not a channel member. Channel members see the channel member posts. So I know YouTube should have it set up that you see the first sentence, and but they don't do it that way. And for those that want to know what it looks like, this is a screenshot of another host that did Dynamite last week. You don't have to have a video TV subscription. They provide the actual video. It's recorded, so you can watch it back. So, and we actually all watch the wrestling together. So I will be hosting it tomorrow. And then from 10 to 11 tomorrow, we will have our regular Patreon show. So 8 to 10 will be the watch party. 10 to 11 will be Patreon. And awesome. This way we don't have to talk about NXT on the Patreon show, because we'll be doing it for 2 hours on the watch along. So if anybody from Patreon wants to talk NXT, well, then you pass by the watch party. So
cool.
Final comment before we go. SRH John sending in a late super chat, which we always appreciate. Isn't it true? Do I think that Rampage ratings are AEW fans only and Dynamite is a mix of WWE and AEW fans? No. I watch Rampage and I watch WWE. I know a lot of people. And you know what? Just go on social media during Rampage and take note of who you follow that are commenting about Rampage in real time. Look at those people. You could even set up a group and just add those people to a group. They don't know you being, well, I think they may know, but you just put, you know, Rampage fans. You just add them to the group. And then you tune on a WWE night and see how many of those same people tune in. I think more than half of the wrestlers, the wrestling fans that watch Rampage are WWE fans as well. It is a mix. It is definitely a mix on both. But we will never, wow, couple hundred people tuning in, and we can't barely get triple digits on the likes. I'll be honest, I'm a little disappointed, especially that it's free, but it's all good. Mish, any closing comments before we go?
No, just looking forward to tomorrow night. Hope everybody joins us on Patreon's Discord. So thank you very much for having me on, and you know,
much love.
See you guys next week.
I see you. See you tomorrow. Be well.
All right.
So everyone, I hope you had a great night tonight. Definitely post your questions in the comment section. You know, what I do after every show in the comment section. If you have a follow-up question you want me to answer, just post it in the comment section and I will definitely reply there. And again, you know, if you want to check out tomorrow, the watch party, there is a link and all you got to do is click that link and sign up. It doesn't cost anything. There's no catches. And check your audio and your video. Make sure it works. As you see on the screen, and I am going to do the T-shirt giveaway. It'll take 2 seconds, so I didn't forget. But as you look, you see on the bottom, our faces will be the size of a quarter. You know, so you don't have to dress up. You don't have to dolly up. You can hardly see anything. And the more people that are on video, the smaller the circles get. And then look, if you don't have video and you still want to hang out, you can. Just hang out in the chat room. So that's pretty much it. So anyway, last but not least for tonight, I have a wheel on the screen and it says VJ, Chris L, Kevin Milwaukee, Rob S, and Rockstar Wolfie. Saturday night live on the show, we did a little impromptu contest. Basically, you predicted who Brock Lesnar's opponent was going to be at Madison's Square Garden, and then anybody that guessed it right, we would put them tonight, and then we would spin the wheel, and then whoever it lands on gets 3 shirts of their choice. Could be anything you want. Could be my shows, it could be WWE, AEW, whatever you want. So on Saturday, those 5 men were the ones who predicted Austin Theory. There was some great choices from Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins and a few others, but they were the ones who picked Kevin Owens, but there could only be one winner. So I am going to spin the wheel live right now, and whoever it lands on gets the 3 shirts. I would say you claim your prize by Thursday, because if not, then, you know, we got to move on. I mean, I literally had somebody who won a shirt about 4 months ago, and it's obviously someone that doesn't tune into the shows all that often. And went back, I guess, and saw the show and realized that they won. And like, hey, can I claim my prize? I gave him the shirt. But if you don't claim it right away, you snooze, you lose. I mean, I think 3 days is a fair amount of time. So anyway, let's spin the wheel. All right. See, I'm not clicking any stop buttons. I have no control how it's going to end. This is no, wherever it, oh, who is it? Rockstar Wolfie. Congrats, Rockstar Wolfie. You are the winner of the three shirts. So reach out to me, DonTony@DonTony.com, or you can DM me. Twitter also, @DonTonyD, and I will hook you up with your shirts. So I know we ended up going about 14 minutes longer tonight than we originally expected. I mean, look, in the beginning, it's going to happen. You know, when I do this 25 years and pretty much had no time limit, you know, it always goes longer. But we really, really have to start keeping the shows around an hour to an hour and 10 minutes, especially if we're going to do shows almost every day of the week. It is definitely a lot to ask everybody to tune into every minute of every show. And I don't expect people to do that. But look, would you rather have three shows a week, each one being 2.5 hours? Would you rather have six shows a week, each one being a little over an hour? You get more content, and it actually adds up to less time. So, but again, post your questions in the comment section, and I'll be more than happy to respond, as long as it doesn't require me a crazy amount of research. So, all right, everyone, I'm out of here. Be well, everybody. And I will catch you all either tomorrow for the watch party or the Patreon show after, if not Wednesday night after Dynamite. Be well, everybody. Stay safe.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.